And we don't have a wine bottle to open because it's just a screw top.
Oh.
So and it's the, not the, exciting. Yeah, do you want to do that? Let's get some sound here. So less satisfying.
Ooh. Let's can we get some like old school Foley artists to like break some celery? Yeah.
Time while belting a Bordeaux, pairing the best wines and picking the next show. Hear Broadway guests and us acting like loons. This you can find here on Tennis and Tunes. When Ben Bradley cries, when the fire dies, whether June's or moon, I simply turn to my favorite thing.
Welcome to Tannins and Tunes. I'm Jessica.
I'm Jimmy. Hi, friends. Hi, moms.
Hi, friends. Hi, moms. Jimmy.
Jessica.
I'm in New York.
You're in New York.
And it's raining.
And it's raining. And so we're inside.
So we are inside. Instead of our usual outdoor recording.
Yeah, we do a nice outdoor recording, a nice picnic in Central Park.
That's never happened.
It should. That'd be great. It should.
And Abel the cat is here with us, whining about his food.
Yeah,
so
speaking
it's
of picnics and...
He's ready for that picnic. So you might hear him whining in the background.
Yeah.
Yeah, Abel the cat.
Cat mascot.
Jimmy, we have an amazing guest
today.
I'm
super excited for this guest.
This guest is so incredible. He and I just met in person for the first time, even though we are kindred spirits and have known each other for much longer than that.
Oh, yeah. And then we've known each other. He and I have known each other for far too long, a whole 5 minutes.
But you're already best friends.
We're good.
It feels like forever.
So this is Greg Camp.
Hello.
Hey.
Hey. We are so happy to have you with us, Greg.
Thanks for having me. Yes. It's such fun.
This is
going to
be fun.
What a treat. Goodness.
We haven't even started
We
yet.
Haven't even started, and right. I'm already overflowed with joy.
So speaking of overflowing with joy... Let's get the wine going.
Let's do it.
Get the wine flowing. Jimmy, why don't you pour for us while I tell us about this wine?
I would love to.
So this is really exciting because I have never tasted this grape before. So this is a brand new grape for me. As you can see, the wine is slightly effervescent.
Yeah, slightly effervescent, slightly like lime color.
Yeah. So let me tell you the story. I went down to Some Good Wine, which is one of my favorite stores to go to in the city. They are so incredibly helpful. Every time I come in and I just shout a show at them and they start throwing wine bottles at me. It's incredible.
Oh, so they're doing the work.
They really are. They really are doing the work. So today I went in and I said, I'm looking for something that is fruit forward and young and fresh and vibrant and just gives you that youthful feeling.
Mm-hmm.
And
is, you know, rejecting against the system.
They're on strike.
Yeah. Part of the wine is on crutches. Give me something like that.
Right. So they took me over to the Spanish section, which I was very surprised about at first. Mm-hmm. And they showed me this 2017 Amistoy. And the grape is
Amistoy?
Yeah.
Like a toy?
Amezoi.
Oh. I love it. Like a transformer.
And the grape is Getariaco Tacolina.
I love it. It sounds like Elvish from Lord of the Rings.
But let me just tell you how many consonants are in this grape. It's a lot. It's a lot of consonants. There's an X in there.
That's how you know it's good.
Right?
That's it.
When that's you can't how pronounce you know. It. Yes. Yeah.
Are there any apostrophes or like dashes? You know, like really getting that Middle Earth Lord of the Rings feel.
Nope.
All right.
Well, and I said grape earlier, and I meant to say region, because the grape is actually Hondarribi Zuri, which is a white variety of grape, and it's native to the Basque country of Spain. So the coastal region of northern Spain, right there on the sea.
Wow.
So when you think southern France, kind of where southern France and northern Spain meet each other.
Okay.
That's where we're talking about, like in that vast country. So let's go ahead and smell this grape. I'm so excited because this is totally new.
Ooh. It's like a bright, it's a bright fruit.
Yeah, like zesty.
Yeah, like a zesty, yeah. Like when you, like literally like zest lemons.
Lemons and limes, yeah. But it sort of has like some peachiness to it as well.
I could see that.
Like some white flowers.
You guys, I'm so bad when it comes to wine. So everything you're describing, I'm like, oh yeah, definitely get that. Yeah, of course. I've learned more about wine in the last 30 seconds than my entire year. This is amazing.
The best part, well, here's the best part about wine. Here's a, like a little tip. You just say something, and you're right. Mm, yes. You know?
This is what Jimmy has learned through the podcast. You just say something.
Is this, like hickory, or, you know, there's like a hint of regret. Is that... You know, like when you like open up a new book and you just like smell it. Like I'm getting a lot of that. You know,
yeah.
Wet rock. Always say wet rock and you're really good.
Well, except with this one, there's no wet rock in this.
There is no wet rock in this, and I'm sad.
So the way that this is done is the grapes are harvested and then fermented with indigenous yeast from the area, and then put into stainless steel tanks, which is why you don't get a lot of oak on it like you would when you smell a Chardonnay.
Yeah.
And then this is actually a little bit different because it's bottled with a little bit of residual carbon dioxide, and that's what gives it the effervescence.
Yeah, the little bubble, yeah.
Yeah. So let's go ahead and sip this.
Okay.
Cheers.
That is cool.
Wow. Ooh.
There's so much happening in my mouth right now.
Right?
Yeah. Is it like green apple?
I'm definitely green apple.
Yes. Green apple.
Yeah. Totally.
Like a grandma. Like what's
like
the
tart?
Yeah.
This feels like an
Granny Smith.
An adult pop rock.
Yes. I totally get that.
Yeah, because there is, except for like the crackling noise, but there is like a lot of like crackling.
Yes.
In the
there is a party in my mouth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Well, and then you get that. So along with the fruit-forward aspect, which is what I totally asked them for, down some good wine, and that tartness, there's also some minerality to it as well.
Yeah.
And that's coming from the limestone that's in the soil of that area.
Oh, my goodness.
From it being right off the coast.
I think I might
be
in love with this wine.
It's really incredible.
Like, I might be in love with this wine, all right? Can you marry a wine?
Like, you're going to marry it?
I'm going to marry this
I'll be
wine.
Your witness. So this
Greg,
wine
you
goes.
You can be the flower girl.
Perfect.
This wine goes really well with cheeses because with cheese you have like the fattiness that would help take the edge off of the tartness of this.
Yeah.
Also Chinese food, like Thai food,
ooh,
it would go really well with because think about like all that's happening in your mouth when you're eating Thai food and something spicy, and that this can again help offset that a little bit.
It would go well with fish.
Yes, definitely with fish and with seafood, things like that.
Have I told this story before? But the James Bond, my favorite James Bond moment in all of James Bond, is it's one of the Sean Connery films, and he knows that one of these, like he's on a train with a person, and he knows that the person in front of him is a bad guy because the bad guy orders a red wine with fish. And he's just like,
he's like
that's
he can't
not
do
what
it.
They're supposed to do. And he like stabs him.
And that is a justifiable cause for killing someone.
I think so too, yeah.
So again, this is a really, really great wine. The 2017 Amestoy, AMEZTOI. You can find this at Some Good Wine and tons of other stores across the New York area for sure.
Yeah,
but probably
in my apartment too. As we're gonna like
because you're gonna get married.
We're gonna get married.
And it's young and fruit forward and fresh and vibrant, just like the show that we're gonna talk about, which is Newsies. But before we get to Newsies, I want to talk about you, Greg.
Me.
And your journey. So I know that everybody asks this question, and I find it kind of to be a hard question sometimes, but how did you get into musical theater? What was the impetus?
Oh, geez. You know, ever since I can remember, I was performing. Like, my earliest memory was when I was 5 years old. Did the local theater production of Peter Pan. And I very specifically remember I was playing Baby John. That's his name, right? Baby John? Yeah, the little one.
Yeah.
No, I think that's from...
Baby John is West Side Story. But
West Side Story. John. It's
Michael.
John.
Michael.
Oh, Michael.
Michael.
Wendy John Michael.
Yeah.
John, the little one. Let's just get the little one.
Now I want a Peter Pan West Side Story.
The mashup.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So I very specifically, my earliest memory doing a show was I was backstage and I was terrified because Captain Hook removed his hook and put it on the prop table. And I was just like, what is my reality is shook. Yeah. And then from there, I just kept doing it. I went to a performing arts high school. I majored in musical theater in college. And mm-hmm.
Well, not just any college. You went to CCM. Like, Musical Theater Central.
It was a great place to go to school. I was very fortunate and mm-hmm. had a great experience. Great friends came out of it, great mentors. And yeah, it was fun.
Good. Well, and tell us a little bit. So you did the Catch Me If You Can National Tour.
Yes.
Which was pretty incredible. How was that experience?
It was awesome. It's a fun story. I don't mean for this to sound like, you know, I'm tooting my own horn, but it's a fun story, so I'm going to share. But so I skipped my last day of college to fly to New York to audition for an immediate replacement in this tour. And I found out that afternoon, and I was on the road the next day, and five days later, I was in the show. And so it was just like a crazy whirlwind. But the whole experience was amazing. That show is so much fun. It didn't get the credit it deserved being here on Broadway. It was an amazing season that it opened up. But the music is so much fun, and I was in the ensemble, so I was dancing Jerry Mitchell's incredible choreography, and we played some amazing cities throughout the U.S., and it was just like the perfect job right out of school. And
That's so much fun.
That wonderful. That seems like a theme with some of our kids.
Yes.
With our guests. Are they just like, I stopped doing school, or I you know, to audition and I got it. Or I played hooky. Now I'm my life has changed.
And I think the theme of Tans and Tunes is also flexibility. You just go with the flow. Days later, you move to Texas. It's great.
Yes.
3 days later, you are in love with the wine and you get married super fast.
Super fast.
And then you get super jealous super with fast. All the other people that are drinking this wine. And you're like, why can't you stay with me?
One of the things that I loved about your resume, Greg, was Saturday Night. Because I feel like that is another super underrated show that no one really gets to talk about, right?
Yeah, that musical was Stephen Sondheim's first musical that he wrote. And we did it at the York Theater off Broadway. Stafford Arima directed it, and it hadn't been seen in quite some time. And it was just really cool. Stephen came and saw the show. He gave us notes. So that was just a bucket list. I'll never forget. He didn't give me the note directly, but via our director, I got a note that was faster is funnier. And he's right. Faster is funnier.
Faster is funnier. So if we just pick up the tempo out of this
now. Exactly. Let's go.
Come on, talking please. About.
Chug, 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 chug.
Tell us, this is one of my favorite questions to ask people. Tell us a story from being on stage or being backstage or something where something super embarrassing happened. But you were able to get through it and go on.
Hmm.
You didn't think this was going to happen, did you?
Wow.
I didn't either.
You know, I had a really fun, wild experience during Catch Me. It was just a crazy time towards the end of tour. Our swing, unfortunately, was out with an injury. So our lead was out, which meant everyone got bumped up. And then we had two more ensemble members out. So the female swing was already covering someone, and I was, because I was new in the cast, I was covering this role that had never been rehearsed while doing my own track and someone else's track. And it was just crazy, wonderful chaos. And there was a moment in the show where you go to reach to your right and your left to grab the person's hand. And because we were short, 10 people, I'd go and look and there's no one there. And all of a sudden I'm just jazz hat handing for my life on this stage in Vegas. And, I'll never forget that. That was really fun.
It's a perfect place to do it. It's in Vegas.
I'm also just imagining that at that moment you were center stage.
You were the only person
on stage.
Well, you know what? It was just a whirlwind that no one really thought about that moment. And in that moment, I realized, I'm completely alone right now. It's great.
Doesn't that feel right? That's what I feel
I love
constantly.
It. Are there any other things that you, I mean, there are plenty of other things that you've done in your career that you were super proud about, but can you just pick out one or two that are maybe some of your favorite things that you've worked on or with certain people?
We're talking about as a performer?
Yeah, well, it doesn't have to be as a performer.
No, in life, yeah, too.
Ooh, I don't know. I mean, I've...
Did you make a really good sandwich one time? And you're just like, I got to remember this. Put it on the podcast.
I will say I'm not the best sandwich maker, but I'll have to work on that for you. No,
we all have flaws. We all have flaws, okay? We've got to accept those flaws.
Yeah. I don't know. I've been really lucky with a lot of incredible experiences, but I also do a lot of work on the side, creating my own work and producing and directing. And so I don't know if it's on the agenda for later, but I started this production company last year called MT Shorts.
So cool.
Yeah.
Very, very cool.
And so me and my producing partner, Sarah Ellis, we started this company as a way to give voice to a younger generation of writers. We just found that, you know, the whole like concert scene was really challenging and really difficult and didn't provide a substantial sort of like platform for people to showcase themselves. And so we created this MT Shorts where we're producing original short musical films and producing them in like a full-blown production style and releasing them out to the world. And we filmed our first one last year and SAG contract, insurance permits, you know, dogs, humane society. It was just like the whole nine. So,
wow.
Yeah, you should check us out.
Yeah, you really should, listeners. It is so incredible in what they're doing. The work that they are providing for people to do their own work and being able to be involved in that at such a professional and high quality is such a gift.
Thanks. Yeah, we just felt, you know, that this is there's such a resurgence in enthusiasm for musical theater, especially on film with all the live shows and all the TV musical, you know, styles. Mm-hmm. And it's just that whole arena is really reserved for like a select group of people. And we're trying to open it up and expand it.
I love it. Yeah. Well, and then you and I met through Congregation Coaching.
Yes, we did.
Which is incredible. And I can't say enough wonderful things about it. And I could go on for like an hour this podcast.
So this podcast
is about wine and musicals. But I will just say that it is an incredible resource for especially people who are in the industry and people who consider themselves to be artists. I think that there aren't a ton of resources out there to kind of look at your life as both an artist and as a person.
Yeah.
And that was such a helpful tool for me. And I can't say enough wonderful things about it. I think it's amazing.
100%.
So check it out. So let's talk about why we are here. You just got done playing Jack Kelly at the Aurora Theater.
I did, yes.
That is amazing. So, so much fun. How was that experience for you?
It was a complete dream. I mean, it's every like musical theater guy's dream to sing Santa Fe. So to get to do that for months at a time was just wonderful. And I had the best company to work with. And the theater that I was doing the show with is like sort of a second home. I did my first professional show while I was still in school with them. And so it was like coming back to family. Yeah, and it's especially now, like the poignancy of the show is so relevant.
Definitely. Can you speak to that a little bit and what audiences were taking away from it in 2018 versus maybe in 2012?
Yeah.
And even before, like with the 1992 movie.
Right.
Totally. You know, I don't think it's any secret. These are curious times that we're living in. And, you know, I think what the show does really beautifully is it provides a voice for the unrepresented. Yeah. These kids who don't have a seat at the table all of a sudden band together and figure out how to stand up for themselves. And you see that happening today, I think, you know, with everything that's happened with gun violence in school and the marches. Like, I look at these kids and I'm like, oh, my God, like, this is what we're fighting for today. Mm-hmm. And there's, you know, a million different things that it's related to, but and relevant to, but that's certainly the thing that pops out.
And also those kids from the gun marches are doing, like, amazing pirouettes. I don't know if you're, like, walking the march.
Lots of backflips.
Yeah. Yeah. They're so good.
There you go.
I see where the comic relief comes from.
What?
Yeah. Jimmy.
Click.
So, 1992 movie. Fantastic. I mean, it was one of those movies that I definitely grew up watching as, like, a movie musical that I was allowed, like, that my parents allowed me to watch.
Yeah, absolutely.
So I grew up with the movie, and then when it came to Broadway, it first premiered at Paper Mill in 2011. They brought it to – and I clearly remember this, that it was brought to New York as a limited engagement.
Yeah. Yeah.
That people kind were like – I don't know if this is going to last. Like, it did okay, Paper Mill, but we're just going to, like, Disney's like, we don't have time to do the full out Disney musical thing.
Yeah.
So we're just going to do it as a limited engagement and then take it away. But then it kept extending, it kept extending, mm-hmm. and then Jeremy Jordan had to leave. So they brought in Corey Cott, and they're like, well, let's just keep it going.
So, I mean, isn't that kind of what happened with My Fair Lady? Wasn't My Fair Lady, like, had an end date, and then they were like, oh, we got Laura Benanti? All right.
Okay, we'll keep going.
Right? Which is wonderful. It's wonderful when shows can do that.
Yeah,
you know?
I agree. Well, and this ended up lasting until 2016.
Yeah.
When it finally closed. And then they filmed it, and now it's on Netflix for everyone to watch.
So good.
Which I am loving Netflix doing that with a bunch of these shows. I've heard of a bunch of different shows mm-hmm. that have been filmed for posterity, and the Netflix gets their interest in it too, which is great. Also, a lot of I really like the idea of filming shows and showing them in the movie theater for that musical theater kid who lives in Nebraska.
Mm-hmm.
Who doesn't have access, they can't come up to New York and see a show, but they are so obsessed. It's the person that has the posters all over the walls. They're always on Spotify with musicals playing. Like, that's the only thing that they have.
They're little mini Jessicas.
Mini Jessicas.
We've had a lot of debate. I'm the part of the community. But the community, like, mm-hmm. producer community, has had a lot of debate about the downside or the plus side of, live streaming some of these shows mm-hmm. or filming them and putting them in the movie theater. And I think for every reason you just mentioned, it's so great because it only increases the mm-hmm. fan awareness and yes. desire to be a part of this community. And so, which is exactly another reason why we did MT Shorts is like, mm-hmm. unless you can get to New York, no one's hearing about these composers. So right. like, let's create something introduces it. Yeah, right. Exactly. Right. To kids all across the country. So, yeah.
Well, and I think that we've seen the power of those kids through shows like Be More Chill.
Totally.
I mean, the fact that Be More Chill is coming to Broadway.
Yeah.
It's all because of those kids.
100%.
Yeah. And like, that could have been, it definitely could have easily been us as well when we were kids. Like, remember Into the Woods or Sunday in the Park with George?
Our title of show.
You know?
Yeah.
Totally. But like, those that were, those are, like, wonderful things. Those are wonderful taped musicals that, you know, like, are just available now and just, like, forever. And that's
I see what you're saying.
We got into it.
Yep.
yes, title of the show as well.
I also think that this is one of those rare – I mean, we talked about earlier that 1992 movie. It's a rare time where a movie has been turned into a musical in this decade.
A movie musical.
So a movie being turned into a musical. Oh, sorry. I meant it to be the other way. That it was rare for it to be the other way, but we see a lot of movies being turned into musicals in this decade.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's what I meant to say. Like, this doesn't make any sense as I'm saying it. That's wrong. But that I do think that we are seeing it in the other way now. I mean, we are seeing musicals that have been successful on Broadway be turned into movies or back into movies.
Mm-hmm. We got like the producers, the movie musical mm-hmm. producers. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Yeah. Exactly.
The first one I could think of, and none others.
So for my mom, who is out there and laments the fact that she has not seen Newsies, and for other moms out there who maybe have not seen Newsies, Newsies is about the newsboy strike of 1899 in New York City. It revolves around this character mm-hmm. Jack Kelly, who is a newspaper delivery boy, aka a Newsie, and it's about the other Newsies who have been orphaned or are homeless in the New York City area finally coming together and demanding to be paid a fair wage.
It felt like it was a prerequisite to be a Newsie is you have to be an orphan, you know?
Well,
some were not.
Those two that are sort of like the secondary characters, or like the characters that are the audience that get introduced to the world. Mm-hmm. It felt like a little bit they were have to be like, I have to lie and say that I'm an orphan. I can't reveal it. I don't know. I thought that was
well, there because there turn. There is that scene that the little tiny boy, I can't remember his name.
Les.
Yes, Les. Oh,
I was going to say Baby John.
goes out and pretends to be sick. He pretends that he's like dying of this horrible cough in order to sell newspapers. So I totally understand what you're saying. One thing that I do want to talk about is actually those secondary characters and the role of women in Newsies.
Yeah.
And I love Newsies for so many reasons, and I think the music is brilliant. I mean, Alan Menken score, Jack Feldman lyrics, just incredible stuff.
You can't go wrong with a Menken.
Yeah, really
you
can't.
You really can't. But the fact that the role of women in the show is not my favorite.
What do you mean? There's a bunch of dudes, a bunch of boys just hanging out and dancing, you know?
You know who my favorite woman is in the show? Is the girl Newsie from the Bronx.
I'm going to be the only woman.
No, she's my favorite. She's my favorite. Like, ever since I saw it the first time on Broadway, I was like, I want to be that one.
Yeah. And there were girl Newsies, too.
Yeah.
We did a lot of research because we had, you know, female ensemble members, and we were like, should we, like, try and dress them up as a boy, or should they just come out as girls? And we did our research, and there were female Newsies, and so that was the choice that we made.
I like that.
Yeah.
I like them. Keep them as girls. And then Cara Lindsay's character, Catherine, mm-hmm. I understand the role of Catherine as a way to spur on the main character and also to provide a look at the other side of the table during the show. But unfortunately, I don't think that the secondary characters and the role of Catherine get the emotional depth that the character of Jack does, of course, because he's the main character.
Sure.
But that is one of those shows that I love, but when I look at it on a deeper level, I kind of think, oh, we could have retold this a little bit.
I miss Bill Pullman, you know? Just miss him. I love him. Let's make more musicals that he's been in. Like, while you were sleeping, let's make that into a musical. And then we have a dream. We can do a dream sequence, and it actually will work this time.
A dream ballet.
I love it. So, Greg, can you speak to that a little bit? And maybe
yeah, can you speak to Bill Pullman and about your love of him?
I love him. Yeah, I totally know what you mean. And we actually discussed that in length in terms of how to make Catherine's arc a little more three-dimensional and
yes.
full.
Mm-hmm.
And it was certainly a challenge, just because, you know, the material is what the material is,
right,
and
right.
you're already fighting against that sort of like Disney-esque quality.
Right.
And so to find really ground it in truth was a challenge. And I give a lot of credit to my co-star, Adriana, who really did the work and really pushed me to, like, find those moments where it ebbed and flowed more versus just sort of, like, a one-lane emotional
mm-hmm.
highway.
Mm-hmm.
And ultimately, you know, we squeezed as much out of it as we could, everything you said is true. Like, it unfortunately, I think, does fall flat from what the potential could be for
right.
those female characters.
Yeah. Though it's still great. And I don't want to come across like I don't like the musical or I don't think it's well written, because of the Disney shows and of Alan Menken shows, I think that it is very well written.
Mm-hmm. Just like, look at those fuetes.
Again, look at those
fuetes. Straight.
Well, let's talk right. about the fuetes.
Let's talk about those fuetes.
Fuetes.
Fuetes. Puertas.
I will never forget being in the theater watching Newsies from, I gotten a rush ticket, obstructed view, on the I was on the first row, but like the corner, so I could not see anything besides the fuertes. And I was still so inspired and moved by the choreography. And I was reading some reviews and heard that your choreographer was just as brilliant as the original choreography. The way that it was done in your production was just as inspiring. And I attribute that to the music. I attribute that to choreographers everywhere coming together and having this mindset of, okay, I want to show this off in show these characters off in the best way possible, but also tell a story about how incredible these people are, and we're going to tell that story through dance. And I think that is so, so neat.
Yeah, so how many puertas did you do?
Oh, you know, a total of zero. No, I got my dancing in. I got my dancing in. I did my job. No, you know, I think what's so great about the show and what I found so inspiring is that it's just like a group of dudes, like really athletic men, like just jumping and throwing each other across the stage. Like, it's just thrilling and exciting.
Yeah.
And the best thing was coming out from the stage every night and just seeing like all these young guys just like fall in love with theater and just see themselves up there, which is something, you know, I didn't know that I necessarily had growing up. So to be that for other young kids was really exciting. Even my 4-year-old nephew came. It was like his first show. And just, you know, to be able to provide, you know, that experience for those young guys out there.
My nephew
and
gals theater. So.
Aww.
Oh, no.
Well,
yeah.
Even when I show.
Love you, Dylan, but, you know. Okay, man. I don't know. My teeth here now.
Even when I show The World Will Know and things and Seize the Day and things like that to my students who don't have a theater background at all, it's watching dance and musical theater as a sport, which I think is so cool. Like, there is no denying at that point that it is a sport.
Right. And you also have to think of, like, and King of New York, too. Is
that? Oh, and King of New York. Yeah, of course.
Oh, my goodness.
Of course. Greg, were there any favorite moments for you every night?
You know, my favorite definitely was King of New York because I wasn't in it.
You get a break.
I got a break. But more so just because, you know, I would often stand in the wings or sneak to the back of the house and just watch this company perform this number, which is so electric, and especially our version, which was so masterfully done, was just really, really exciting. So, yeah, that was really special to get to bear witness to that.
Awesome. And what about the song that I always forget is in the show, and I feel so bad whenever I see it, because after we get done with Brooklyn's Here, because I get really excited about the girl Newsy, I forget about Something to Believe In. And it's a gorgeous song, but I forget about it every single time until Jack and Catherine start singing together, and I'm like, oh, yeah, this is in here.
And if I'm gone tomorrow,
what was ours,
there will be. I have something to believe in. Now that I know you believe in me.
Which goes back to what we were talking about before, where, like, it's the first time, like, Jack and Catherine have seen each other in, like, 30 minutes on stage. All of a sudden, they're, like...
They're in love, I guess?
Of course they're in love. They're the two leads. That's how love works,
That's
all
right?
And now I'm back in love with my bottle of wine. We're okay. Everything. We've worked everything
you
out.
Worked it out.
You still love your nephew. I still love Jeremy. Yeah. You guys, doing a podcast drinking wine is fun.
Right?
You never know what's going to come out.
It's the only reason why I keep doing this podcast. Well, sorry, Teabag is here.
Tell me, in your mind and in your director's mind, and this is a total opinion. I'm going to state that right now. It is a total opinion. Are Catherine and Jack in love, or do they just respect each other in a totally platonic way?
And they're just, like, making out hardcore just, like, for the fun of it.
Yeah.
And just, like, fooling around, you know? No strings, no attachments.
Right. No, you know, we definitely took it to the we honored that's a great question. I mean, what we did is we believed we were honoring in the script was two young people mm-hmm. just like falling in love. Mm-hmm. You have to remember that these kids were like 16 years old.
Right.
And so especially, you know, and in the show too, a lot of the message is repetitive, like what are the first two songs in the show where they're like, they strike and then they strike again and then
carrying
they strike
the
once more.
Yeah.
Are you talking about, yeah, carrying the banner, or are you talking about like when they strike, like Seize the Day or?
There's a song before Seize the Day where they start striking and then mm-hmm. they strike again.
The world will know.
Yeah. When you got 100 voices singing, who can hear a loud deep soul blow?
They sing The World Will Know, and then they sing
Seize the Day,
and it's the same song.
It's the same song, but it's best.
But it's the best, and, you know, as, like, an intellectual, I was like, why? Like, what is happening? Like, why are we telling this message again?
Now is the time to seize the day. Now is the time to seize the day. Answer the call and don't delay. Answer the call and don't delay. Wrongs will be righted. If we're united, let us seize the day. Now that I'm here, it's loud and clear. Now that I'm here, it's loud and clear. Like it enough, it's growing near.
And there's a point to this, I promise. It comes back to, again, the idea that these were kids, and as a kid, like, the attention span is, like, bonkers
right.
and off the wall, and, like, you know, they learn things nonlinear, and, like, they fall in love every time they turn around, and so... we were honoring that sort of like youthful spirit of these characters
yeah.
as best we could. And so that lent itself into the relationship with Catherine as well.
I love that. I love that answer.
Now that we've got some wine in us, we're going to play games right now.
Okay. So this is our game. Our game is Alan Menken Shows.
Oh, da-da-da-da. And so, the world will know when I crushed Greg. And probably not.
So I will give you two songs from the show or movie that Alan Menken composed.
Uh-huh.
And you will buzz in
uh-huh.
and tell me what the show is.
Oh, okay.
So come.
So just like beep.
Yep, yep. Okay. You can come up with your
yeah,
own.
Yeah, what's your
own noise?
I guess that's it.
That's it.
Beep. It'd be like a buzz.
Okay. So here we go. Question number one. Somewhere that screen suddenly
Little Shop of Horrors.
Yes!
Faster.
The Little Shop of Horrors.
Faster is funnier. Is it the Little Shop of Horrors? I thought it was just Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, God.
You win either way.
Either way, I win.
I think it is just yeah. Little Shop of Horrors.
Oh, I was
it.
In a...
Yep, Little Shop of Horrors.
The
Little Shop.
You're right.
I was doing trivia recently, and one of the answers was Oklahoma, and I fought because I was like, the answer is not Oklahoma. The answer is Oklahoma!
Exclamation
point!
Yes, you are correct,
yes,
Jimmy.
Yes, I am. Because my professor beat that into my brain.
Yes, I will give you points.
There's
on
no
that.
The.
Thank you.
There's no the. Okay.
God, I'm such a bad ET.
That's okay.
Being exposed over here.
Here we go. Sorry. Question number two. Under the Sea, Kiss the Girl. Yep.
The Little Mermaid.
Yes, the Little Mermaid. Okay, here we go. Be our guest, Gaston. Yep.
Beauty and the Beast, first professional show as a teacup with yes. Christy Carlson Romano.
Yes, Christy Carlson Romano.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. She.
You know who I was with this weekend? Susan Egan, the original Belle in Beauty and the Beast.
Yes. What?
So sweet.
Susan Egan, I think... like, added me on Twitter. She, like, follows me on Twitter.
Amazing.
I love her.
Okay, here we go. Seize the day, Santa Fe.
Newsies.
Newsies. Yes, you are correct.
The Newsies.
The Newsies. Friend Like Me, A Whole New World.
Go
ahead.
Aladdin.
Yep.
The Aladdin.
Here we go. Link by Link, God Bless Us Everyone.
Buzz.
Yep.
Diamonds?
Nope.
Damn it. One more time?
That's a good guess, though.
Thank you.
Link by Link and God Bless Us, Everyone.
Buzz.
Yep.
Christmas Carol?
Yes.
Yes.
Does anyone know the lyricist on that? It was not Howard Ashman.
Wasn't Tom Rice.
Nope.
It was Ashman Howard.
This person collaborates with another collaborator, Stephen Flaherty.
Lynn Ahrens.
Yeah, she did the lyrics, and Alan Menken did the music.
Oh, when was this?
Late 90s.
Okay, very nice. Very cool.
Okay, here we go. Colors of the Wind. Just
Pocahontas.
Yes.
It's Pocahontas 2, Lost in New York. is the actual answer.
Out There.
Beep.
Jimmy's getting killed.
Yes. Hunchback of Notre Dame.
The Hunchback of Notre Dame killed it, yes.
Here we go. Zero to Hero.
Beep.
Hercules.
Yes.
Another Susan Egan.
Okay, this is a little bit of a tough one. This New Jerusalem, Goliath of Gath.
Buzz.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
The Prince of Egypt.
Nope.
No. Stephen Schwartz.
It was the lyricist is Tim Rice.
There's like a that was Stephen Schwartz.
this
The Wine's King.
This came out in 1994, I think. And it was the first show in the New Amsterdam Theater.
Say the songs one more time.
This New Jerusalem. Goliath of Gath.
Yeah, I can see it so clearly in my head. Mm-hmm. King David.
Mm-hmm. That's it.
Buzz.
That's it.
King David. You didn't buzz in. You don't get the point.
No, Greg gets it. I count it. Okay. Anytime you need a friend, wherever the trail may lead. This is a movie.
Anytime you need a friend, wherever the trail may lead.
I will be honest, I did not get this one. I had to look it up. Lyricist is Glenn Slater.
I don't know who that is.
It's about... cows.
Home on the Range?
Yeah, that's it.
Beep. Home on the Range.
What is Home on the Range?
It's a movie about cows.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is. Okay, here we go.
It's wrong.
That's How You'll Know. Happy Working Song.
Buzz. Oh, God. Oh, no, I can
you
see
know it.
I know, and I can see it in my mind's eye, and I'm like, it's like Frozen. No, it's like, it's Bedazzled, or whatever.
Greg, can you steal?
Give me a second.
Sing along.
Yeah, it's the princess. It's Amy Acker. And like,
not Amy Acker.
It's not Amy Acker.
Amy Adams.
You know,
Enchanted?
You
know,
yes, Enchanted.
Ah.
Beep. Okay. Enchanted.
Beep. La Enchanted.
No. Okay. Take Me to Heaven.
Buzz.
Uh-huh.
Sister Act.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, this is another hard one. Rise Up, I Can Read You. Glenn Slater was also the lyricist on this. It's about a preacher.
Oh.
Lots of sequins. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. Yep, that's the poster. You did the poster.
Oh, Raul Esparza.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
Raul
yeah.
Esparza. Keeping the, not keep, the faith, yeah. Leap of Faith.
Yes, that's it! Okay. I See the Light, Mother Knows Best.
God, we're getting hard.
Yeah. I See the Light, Mother Knows Best.
Glenn Slater lyrics. This was again. A movie.
This was a movie. This was, this is a
was turned into a show that was on a Disney ship.
Tangled?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Oh,
he wrote
right.
Tangled too? Tangled.
The yeah.
Light. I See the Light.
He Mother wrote everything.
He wrote everything.
Okay, right? Last one. Here we
that's
go.
That's why he wrote Prince of Egypt, and that's why I was right. He wrote everything.
Here we go. Belmont Avenue, Out of Your Head.
Buzz.
Uh-huh.
Is this one diamonds?
Nope. Though I do like that you're guessing diamonds. I didn't put it in because I thought it was going to be too hard.
Is this the baseball one?
That's diamonds.
That's diamonds.
Yeah.
Good.
This one just...
At least we're on the same page.
It just closed on Broadway not too, too long ago. It was his most recent Broadway show.
Oh, is it Buzz?
Uh-huh.
Is it Mary Poppins?
Nope.
Oh. Did she? Did he? Did she? Did he?
No.
Mm-mm.
No?
No, he that was that? The brothers, the Sherman was, brothers.
Oh. Yeah, that makes sense.
Beep.
Uh-huh.
A Bronx Tale.
Yes, that's it.
He did a Bronx Tale?
He did a Bronx Tale.
Oh, my goodness.
So I think it's safe to say, Greg, that you sweeped that.
I don't know how. I thought it was just chat.
I don't like it. All right. I'm going to the judges.
Greg, tell us how we can follow you and our listeners can follow you on social media.
Oh, sure. I am on the Instagram. Mm-hmm. happy_camper with a K, as in kiwi or knapsack, which is how you spell my last name.
Oh.
And, yeah, that's pretty much...
Where can people find MT Shorts?
Yes, you can find us and our video at www.mtshorts.com, MT as in musical theater, the letters, mm-hmm. shorts.com.
Great.
Everything's there.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Yes.
And Jimmy, where can people find you?
People can find me on Twitter, being followed by Susan Egan, at Jimmy_Robertson.
Weird flex, but okay.
And Instagram, not followed by Susan Egan, at Jimmy Robertson.
And you can find me at JM Humphrey on all of the things. And you can follow Tannins and Tunes on Instagram and Twitter and Facebook and tannins and tunes.com. And make sure to send us an email at tannins and tunes@gmail.com. And guys, we're still doing our rates and reviews. So if you go onto iTunes or Stitcher and you rate and review us, we will pair a wine with your username.
Don't even take it. Take 2 seconds. Just be like, great. I love it. Done.
Because we will pair a wine with that.
Because we'll pair a wine.
And also, we will donate $1 towards fire relief in Napa Valley for every review that we get on iTunes.
Wow. That's
so
amazing.
We love to give back. So help us give back. Is there anything else, Jimmy?
Not to my knowledge.
Greg, thank you for joining
us. Thank you so much.
Thanks for having me. Everyone go out and seize the day.
That's a great way to go out. I love it.
The world will know.